I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Thine is the glory, risen, conquering sun. Endless is the victory thou o'er death has won. Angels in bright raiment roll the stone away. Can the folded grave close where thy body lay?
Thank you, choir, for that song of triumph. I'm so grateful that Jesus won the victory over death and the grave. And I'm also grateful that you've joined me for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international media ministry, using both electronic and print media to reach millions around the world with the good news of the gospel. Each week, our international broadcasts in 15 major languages are aired more than 400 times. Thousands are responding to the programs, and hundreds are finding salvation through Jesus. One of our broadcasts is in the Pashto language, spoken by people living in Pakistan and Afghanistan. The producers of the program received a phone call from a listener in Afghanistan. Incidentally, Afghanistan is number 2 on the World Watch list of persecution, right next to North Korea. Here's a summary of that phone call. The listener told us he accepted Jesus into his life. He said he had never experienced such joy that comes from his heart. When he thinks about how Jesus saved him, his eyes fill with tears. We thanked God for his salvation, and we prayed for him. We encouraged him to pray continually, and through prayer, build his relationship with God. You know, friend, if you partner with Heralds of Hope through your prayers and giving, then you played a part in this listener's salvation. Isn't that exciting? One who was rescued from the dominion of darkness and has been brought into the kingdom of light. Now, on the flip side, can you imagine being afraid to tell anyone of the tremendous joy that you now have? Can you imagine the danger this listener is in because of his conversion? We really do need to be praying for our suffering brothers and sisters. Let's do that right now. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We rejoice with you and with the angels in heaven over this listener's salvation. We rejoice that another member of the Pashtun people group has been added to the family of God. Right now, Father, we pray for your hand of mercy and protection for this new child of yours. We know that the way before him will be difficult. He may even be called to give up his physical life because he's chosen to follow you. But Father, will you give him a special awareness of your presence? Will you somehow make him conscious that people in the free world are praying for him? Father, surround him with your love and your care. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, choir. The first 19 verses of Daniel chapter 9 record Daniel's prayer of personal and national repentance. I said last time that this text shows us several steps of action that will characterize the prayer of the penitent. The first step of action we looked at was seek God's face, and we explored what that means for us today. One of the first actions Daniel took was eliminating those things that would distract him from giving his full attention to God. The second step of action was confess your sins. Daniel is one of the few biblical characters to whom no sin is ascribed, and yet he includes himself with his people by saying, "We have sinned." He acknowledged the shame of their collective guilt. The next step of action in the prayer of the penitent was confess God's righteousness. Daniel acknowledged that God was perfectly just and righteous in bringing judgment on his disobedient people. You and I also must understand and embrace this important truth. Now today, as we continue our study, we'll learn that the final step of action in the prayer of the penitent is to cry out for forgiveness. I hope you can stay with me for my teaching. As we resume our study, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 9 and verses 1 to 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us, and against our judges, who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. The final step of action in the prayer of the penitent is cry out for forgiveness. As Daniel noted earlier in his prayer, he was addressing the God of mercies and forgivenesses, and he makes his appeal based on God's worldwide reputation that was gained when he had miraculously delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. The original Passover was a dramatic illustration of God's ability to separate between the righteous and the wicked. The destruction of Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea and the supernatural preservation of the nation during their years of wandering in the wilderness further enhanced God's reputation. And Daniel is now appealing to God to increase his fame, that is God's fame, by fulfilling the deliverance of his people from Babylon. And then Daniel further appeals to God's righteousness. He acknowledges that God was righteous in bringing judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. God had promised that he would do that if his people refused to obey him. But Daniel reminds God that it's also right that he will forgive and restore the repentant according to his promises. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 1 to 6. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Now, based on God's promises and his righteous character, Daniel appeals for the reproach of Judah and Jerusalem to be taken away. Yes, Daniel cares about the city and he cares about its people, but he's also concerned about how the heathen nations will perceive God and his power. He seeks God's forgiveness in verses 17, 18, and 19 based on God's righteousness. Remember 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where is God's righteousness in that promise? God is just to forgive our sins for two reasons. First, he's faithful. That is, he's faithful to his promises. And second, he is just in forgiving us because Jesus' death satisfied the legal requirements of our being made righteous. Now notice in verse 17, Daniel appeals to God to cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate. Remember, back in verse 3, Daniel set his face unto the Lord God. I said earlier, this is another way of saying that he was giving God his undivided attention. And now Daniel is asking God to reciprocate, to show his divine approval by restoring Israel's sanctuary, the temple. And God eventually did that. Now, when you and I sin, our physical temple, our body, isn't usually destroyed, even though there can be physical consequences for sin. But our spiritual temple, the place where God dwells by his Spirit, is defiled by our sin, and God's glory is diminished. There's an interruption in our fellowship with the Father because our sin temporarily clouds that relationship. If we persist in sin and refuse to repent, then we jeopardize our relationship with him. I must admit, as I meditated on these verses, I have seen repentance and confession in a new light. It's true the actions of repentance and confession are about cleansing your guilt and mine, and Jesus' death provided for that cleansing. And I know the spiritual and emotional release that comes to me when I'm honest with God about my sin. But Daniel's prayer suggests the primary reason for seeking forgiveness is so that God's glory can be restored in us. When we're in a right relationship with God, then those around us will see God in our lifestyle and in our responses to them, and they will in turn glorify God. Jesus talks quite a bit about that in John chapter 17. As I observe the modern church, I see a lot of man-centeredness rather than God-centeredness. Today, many pastors refuse to talk about sin because it's offensive. It will drive people away. They won't attend anymore. For too many of them, the gospel is a 12-step program to a more fulfilling life. But Daniel doesn't make that mistake. He doesn't focus primarily on Israel, even though he clearly enumerates all their sins. His primary focus is on God, God's glory, God's reputation among unbelievers, and God's holy jealousy. We need a revival like Isaiah had when he had a vision of God's glory there in chapter 6. We're in a time of worldwide turmoil because of the coronavirus. I don't claim to know the mind of God or all the reasons that this has happened right now. But historically, God has used trials and hardship to arrest the attention of those who are going nonchalantly through life without paying much attention to Him or His Word. And that's especially true for those of us who profess to be the people of God. I personally believe God is calling us to evaluate our relationship with Him through this difficult time. Here in the Western world, we become so enamored with the idols of our age, sports and entertainment and possessions and pleasure. We have compromised our freedoms and safety for the sake of cheap goods that fuel our discontent. And we don't realize the high cost that we're really paying. We may very well be entering into a time of economic decline and the curtailment of some of the freedoms we've long taken for granted. And yet, instead of being fearful, we should look at Daniel's prayer of penitence as a model to follow. There are some indications that the current difficulties are generating spiritual interest. You remember that happened after 9/11, too. But in a few short weeks, people went back to the previous normal, and our culture continued right on, as Robert Bork says, slouching toward Gomorrah. Will it be different this time? Only if God's people get on their faces like Daniel did and confess their sin and seek the glory of God above everything else. God judged Israel because of their idolatry, their callous attitude to the poor, and their mistaken impression that because they were the people of God, they were untouchable. I fear we're guilty of the same things, my friend. And God, in His grace, is giving us an opportunity to repent, an opportunity to declare His majesty and His glory to a world that is lost in darkness. So, will we go on our merry way, or will we humble ourselves before God? Will we seek His face, confess our sins, confess His righteousness, and then cry out for forgiveness and restoration? I urge you, my friend, to join me in sincerely praying the prayer of the penitent.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow.
Thank you, men. Were you blessed by today's program? If so, you can receive a complete copy of this teaching, The Prayer of the Penitent. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And the easiest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to today's teaching at your convenience. Remember, that teaching is titled The Prayer of the Penitent. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page and see various prayer requests or read an encouraging testimony from a listener or a Bible recipient. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to listen to this teaching, The Prayer of the Penitent. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll be back to study God's Word together. And until we meet again,
Savior.